Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 is we want to take a look here and kick off our message this morning at verse number 12. Taking a look at a few words here and just considering this thought this morning. You pray that the Lord will bless us and help us together. Pray for me that I might be able to convey these things. The Lord's given them to me in a way that would be helpful to you and a benefit to all of us. And for any that are here this morning and not saved, that today would be the day of their salvation, that you would repent of your sins, trust in Jesus Christ, the Lord save your soul, and that we might rejoice together in it, and one, being rescued from sin, self, the world, Satan, and all those terrible things that cause death, and be brought into, as we saw in our Sunday school class, be brought into His marvelous light. Amen? Wouldn't that be great? It's always great to hear and see folks saved. Here in Ephesians chapter 2, let's pick it up in verse number 11. Not cut the sentence in half, but let's go ahead and take a look at the front end of the sentence on down to these words that we want to consider. In verse number 11 of Ephesians 2, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands." The Jews... Referring to the Gentiles, the Jews being circumcised because of the commandment of the Lord to Abraham, and the Gentiles, of course, knowing nothing of that because it wasn't to us, it wasn't to the Gentiles. Verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, having nothing to do with Israel, the oracle of God, the word of God that is there, and strangers from the covenants of promise, didn't know the word of God. Because without the Word of God, you can't know about salvation. You can't know about your need. Having no hope. That's what we want to look at this morning. Having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Having no hope. Before salvation, we that are here this morning and saved, we were without hope. We were without hope, and it says there, and without God in the world. Let's pray. Father, we pray at this time, Lord, that you would open up your word unto us. Lord, you'd help us to understand those things you have in store for us. Lord, give me plainness of speech that I might be able to relay these things to the people here, Lord, and give us all hearts open and receptive to your word, Father. Break our hearts and make us pliable in your hand. Lord, open our ears and our eyes that we might hear and see. We pray, Father, that you would work amongst us, stir us up with your Spirit and your Word, Father, that we might be changed, Lord, that we might pursue the kingdom, your kingdom and righteousness, Lord, in a renewed and powerful way, Lord, that you would work through us in that. For those not saved today, Father, that this would be the day of their salvation, Lord, work that you only can, and Lord, open their eyes and open their ears, and Lord, give them faith to believe, Father, that they might repent of their sins, they might trust in Jesus Christ. And Lord, you save them. We pray that you'd bless in it. Lord, help us to see that hope that we only can have in you. And pray, Father, you'd just bless with your word. Help us now, we pray. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. With having no hope, I want to ask you this question this morning. Do you have hope? Do you have hope? If you take everything you own, everything that you have in your control, everything you've got, and you take it and you test it by the fire. You go and build a fire and you take everything that you've got and you put it in that fire. I ask you, what do you have left? What do you have? Do you have anything left? Everything about life, everything that there is, can you put it to the fire? And if you do, what do you have left? Well, when it gets down to something like that, of course, we would strip ourselves of everything that we have in this life because the fire can touch all of that. And in the sense, if we would take our family and such as that and those of our friends and everything, they too are going to die. Ann Sanders Lyons, she passed away this morning. She went out into eternity this morning. Sister Ruth Simmons, earlier in the week or late last week, she went on into eternity, and our family and our friends will do so too. But as we stand there, with all of the things of this life, everything that the fire can touch taken away, do you have anything left? Listen, without Jesus Christ, you have nothing. You have absolutely nothing if you don't have Christ. But with Christ, oh, we have such an abundance. And here and it tells about having no hope before salvation comes. First, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Take a look at this, and this is the love chapter, or speaking of charity. I like to call charity not just love, just not make it a synonym for love, but it is love with legs on it. This is love that is driven to action, I believe is what it's saying here. And here at the end of this chapter, it says that there's three things that remain. In verse number 13 of 1 Corinthians 13, it says, "Now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity." I tell you what, charity is there, and it is the greatest because God said so. But look what's right there close to it. Right there close to it. What's it say? Faith and hope. You know, and I've come to see, I believe, from the Lord touching me and working in me and working with me in this study and this look, see at hope in the Scripture. You know, consider this, and just I'll give you this as a bonus. You can chew on it and let me know what you think. You know, but without one of these, you can't have the other. Without hope, you can't have faith and charity. Without charity, you can't have faith and hope. Without faith, you can't have hope and charity. These three are that way, it seems to be. And we see here that faith and hope are connected. Look over here at Hebrews 11, this being the faith chapter. And you know this, I trust. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, we see here that it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." Faith and hope have a connection. They are connected here. And as we saw over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, that these things, that which remains, that which abides, when everything else is stripped away, that which remains of the working of the Lord, faith, hope, and charity. And we see here in Hebrews 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance. This is what you can put your hands on. It's the substance. You can grab a hold of faith. You can't take faith just by itself, but we see faith work in lives. It's manifested out in the life. You can see faith being worked in someone's life. It's the substance of things to hope for. Without hope, is there a basis for faith? Hope is looking forward to a thing. Hope is based upon a promise, is it not? Hope is that which is desired, which is expected, which is had there is anticipation about. Faith is knowing that it's going to come to pass. And we talk about hope by itself, and it's hard to talk about it by itself, but we try. Hope is the promise. That's the reason we need to know the promises of God. And if you don't know the promises of God, if I don't know the promises of God, we can't grow up and add to our faith, can we? 2 Peter chapter 1, it tells us about that. Add to our faith. By the promises given to us by God, we can be partakers of the divine nature of Christ. Behave and operate in this world as He would when it's impossible for us to do so. Okay? But hope is that looking of that promise. It's what's been stated is going to be that we look and long for. Faith is knowing that it's going to come to pass. That God Almighty is going to bring it to pass. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We can't see that which is promised other than through the eye of faith. It's not been done yet. But we hope for it, we look forward to it, and we believe, we have faith that God, who has promised it, will accomplish it. You see how that lays in there together? For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. They had faith in God. And so on goes on the chapter to tell us about those things. In Hebrews chapter 13, listen, it says, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life." Oh, we have hope and expectation in the Lord, as we're going to take a look specifically at those hopes, some of those hopes that we have. But for one to hope, the hope in the Lord, as we've said many, many times, is not a hope hoping it'll happen, but maybe it won't. It's not the world's kind of hope. People are buying lottery tickets today. I hope you haven't this week. Buying lottery tickets, gambling, hoping they will win. There's a slim opportunity or chance that they might, and then there's most likely that they won't. And they'll be the ones funding it for the very few that do win. And really, when it gets down to it, when they do win, they don't win. But the hope in the Lord is, like I said, based on a promise. It's based on God saying that He's going to do a thing. And He's going to do it for those who cannot do it for themselves. But hope deferred, again, imagine the person of the life. Thought about the passage that talks about a person, a man gaining the whole world and then coming down at death. And all that he had gained in the world, great gain, and at death, lose his own soul. His soul, the wealth, the fame, the notoriety, all those things, they didn't matter when it came down to him dying. All that is stripped away. And because his hope is in that rather than in the Lord, he goes on out into eternity with no answer, no Savior, and him and his sin, and nothing to say. The hope that he had in his wealth, the hope that he had in gaining the whole world, when it's come down and it's deferred, that hope did not work. Oh, what a fool I've been, the sinner says. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. When they see, when they go out into eternity, and they feel the flames of hell licking at their body, and they say, oh, it was the wrong hope that I had. It was the wrong thing in which I was relying. And their heart is sick and they're in their misery forever. Oh, but when desire cometh, it's a tree of life. We have these hopes that we're going to look at. And when we receive them, we receive some in this life. We have some that we expect in the life to come. Oh, and when they're granted unto us, isn't it glorious? Well, it's kind of like when you open up the Word of God and you read and the Lord speaks to you out of the Scripture and He makes it alive unto you and it makes you rejoice. Does the Word of God do that to you? A lot of times it makes me cry. When I read the Word of God and the Lord touches me and stirs me with His Word, it makes me weep about how good God is and how He works amongst us. A worm like me, He reaches down and He touches me and He shows me good things. Oh, it's the hope that one receives when they're saved. You remember when you were saved? And you were set free. You're free. You're on top of the world, on cloud nine, if you will. And it just released from that condemnation, released from that sin, because that hope of salvation was revealed unto you and the Lord saved your soul. Oh, it's a tree of life indeed. Hope comes from the Lord and spans from this life to the next. In 1 Corinthians 15, just listen. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. That's the thing about the hope in Christ. The man that gains the whole world, everything that there is that becomes his, and then slips out into eternity, closes his eyes in death, and the spirit and the soul depart from his body, and all that which he hoped in is left. And he finds out it was no hope when it came in regards to eternity. There he is. But the hopes that we have in Christ span from this life to the life to come. Oh, what a glorious thing that it is. Seven things in which I have hope because of the Lord. Hebrews 11 verse 1 said, now faith is the substance of things hope for. Seven things in which I have hope because of the Lord. Romans chapter 15. Got a handful of scriptures here. We're going to put you to the sword drill a little bit this morning. So go ahead and turn and read these for yourself. Seven things in which I have hope because of the Lord. Romans chapter 15, verse number 4. I have hope through the scriptures. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Comfort of the Scriptures. The Lord tells us what's going to come to pass, as he told the disciples what was going to come to pass before his crucifixion. He said, so you won't be offended, so you won't be afraid. Even though that they were, the Lord told them, the Lord tells us, and we have hope through the Scriptures. The Lord has told us about those things that we need to know. He's told us about those things that will help us, and we have hope in the Scriptures. We know God's telling us the truth. We know that we have a compass, if you will, that will guide us, the Word of God. It tells us that which is the heart and the mind of God, to the extent that the Lord has wanted to reveal it unto us. And can you imagine a life as a child of God with no direction? But we've got it. We have it in the Scriptures. Second, Colossians chapter 1. We have hope in the Scriptures. I have hope in the Scriptures. And in Colossians chapter 1, I have hope of the gospel. Here in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 21, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death," Colossians chapter 1, verse 22, "to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." Hope of the gospel. The good news that God was going to do something for me through his Son that I could not do for myself. The gospel, it covers a lot of territory. The pinnacle of it is the crucifixion and the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the good news of God ever since Adam was that God is going to take care of it. God is going to take care of it. And he revealed it and revealed it and revealed it till he showed us his Son high and lifted up. Hope of the gospel. Hope of the Scriptures and through the Scriptures. Thirdly, I have a hope in my calling of the Lord unto salvation. Ephesians chapter 1, back over here in Ephesians. Take a look at this. A hope in my calling. My calling. You that are saved, it would be your calling. Not a general calling of us all. But did the Lord call you? Did the Lord speak to you? Did the Lord woo you? Did the Lord draw you? Did he make the Word of God, which meant nothing to you, one day he made it mean everything to you, and he showed you Christ, and he showed you your sin, and he showed you your need? In Ephesians chapter 1, here in verse number 17, "that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling." Know what is the hope of his calling. What is the calling of the Lord as he works in us, as he shows us, as he brings a witness to us in the Word unto us and makes it the Word of God, the Scripture, real unto us, that it applies to us, that it has life, that it's the message from God Almighty to us in particular. And he calls us in that. He works that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. The hope of his calling. Now, if we go take a look over here in chapter 4 of the same book, Ephesians 4, verse number 4. "There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling." The calling of God. The wooing of God, if you will. The speaking of God in that still small voice to you about your sin, about your need, about the Savior dying for you. He calls us unto salvation. Romans chapter 8, listen, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Right there in between the calling, right there between the calling and the justification, salvation came. The witness of God's word to you, what your circumstances were, your kin, your friend, the stranger, whatever it was that the Lord used to bring that word of God to you, whether it be from a tract, whether it be from a New Testament, whether it be over the radio, God bringing that call to you. And when he saved you, you saw that the hope of his calling was the salvation of your soul. You see what I'm getting at? That the Lord would pick out you to speak to you. We've gave this reference many times about a famous person. And if a famous person would come to Olmsted and they would caravan through here, and they'd have the procession that would come out here, and say we'd be all standing out here in the parking lot waving if they came by, and that person would stop and single you out and speak to you and call you to the car and give you a gift. Is not what the Lord did to you in the day that he called you? And that calling, the hope of my calling, and I say it that way because it was the calling that the Lord called me with. It was the calling that the Lord called you with. You remember it, don't you? You remember when the Lord called you? And that call was unto salvation. In 1 Thessalonians, turn over here, and we see that this calling is indeed that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, this calling, hope in my calling of the Lord, and it is unto salvation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 8, we read, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. The hope of salvation, the hope that the Lord has given us in redeeming us, saving us, paying the atonement for us. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we go, we see that salvation is more than that. The salvation of the Lord is more than that of just the salvation of the soul, which is essential. But there's the salvation of the life. There's the salvation of the body. And there's a salvation, this complete salvation that we have in him. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Live together with him now, and live together with him then. The hope of our calling unto salvation. And then there's another hope. Fourthly, we have a hope of an inheritance. 1 Peter chapter 1, an inheritance. My folks aren't wealthy people, and if everything works out, the time that they pass on and all that, it ends up a zero, that'll be about right. They're not wealthy folks. I don't look forward to a great inheritance from my parents, and that, it's just the way that it is. I don't bemoan that of them, but I have the hope of an inheritance from the Lord. I have a hope of an inheritance from him. All being made joint heir with Christ, being brought and going to be brought to him in that place where he is. And as we saw here recently, how it's the Father's pleasure to give us the kingdom, is it not? He's going to give us all things, it tells us in Revelation. But here in 1 Peter chapter 1, we read, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away. And it's got a reservation on it, and it has my name, praise God, on it. A hope of an inheritance from the Lord, an inheritance where the Lord, what really matters is just that he's given himself to me. That's all the inheritance that I need. Oh, Mephibosheth spoke of that when David came back. You remember it as we studied about Joab Sunday afternoons. And David asked him, he said, Mephibosheth, why didn't you go with me? He said, well, my servant tricked me. And he said, well, you all divide the stuff. He said, let him have everything. All I care is that the king has come back. All that I care is I just want to be with my Lord and Savior. He's promised me an inheritance, but all I want to do is be with him. Praise God for it, a hope of an inheritance. Next we see a hope of blessing. A blessing that the Lord has given unto us, which I think that it's hard for us to even scratch the surface of it. Hebrews chapter 6. It's hard for us to even scratch the surface of this blessing that the Lord has given us, a blessing of I will bless thee, and blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee. The promise of God Almighty to Abraham and to us. Here in Hebrews chapter 6, here speaking about God and him swearing by himself because there was none greater that he could swear. In verse number 13, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. So after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise, Abraham did. For men verily swear by the greater, an oath for confirmation to them is the end of all strife. When the fellow says, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and I swear by this. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability or the unchangeableness of what he has counseled to do, confirmed it by an oath. God made an oath that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. What was that? Verse number 14. Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. Those are the two unchangeable. God said it, and he's going to do it. And he did it by those two unchangeable things in which it was impossible, verse 18, for God to lie. We might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. The hope of a blessing of the Lord. And you consider, the Lord saved your soul. The Lord's put you in Olmsted Baptist Church. Has not the Lord laid blessing upon us? Has not in the Lord's church, has he not multiplied us? He has. He has. That's the thing about the church and having brothers and sisters in Christ to serve the Lord with. He has blessed us. He has multiplied us. The disciples said, we've left all. What shall we have? He said, I'll give you 100-fold in this life with trials, with temptations and persecutions, but in the life to come, eternal life. Oh, has the Lord blessed us? He's blessed us beyond measure. And then I have sixthly, a hope in the Lord's return and appearing. First Thessalonians chapter 4. You're familiar with this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The hope of the Lord's return and appearing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. That's the way it was with us before the Lord saved us. That's the way it is with you. If you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have no eternal hope. You have hope and expectation of thing in this life. But what about when it comes time for you to die? What do you have? What do you have that the fire won't touch and consume? Is there anything that you think that you have that the fire won't consume? If you don't have Christ, you have nothing. You have nothing. If you have just things of this life, you have nothing. But we sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so also them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, which we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Those that are without Christ, verse 13, they have no hope. But we that have Christ, we that have been saved by him, we have the hope of his appearing. It goes on to say in Titus chapter 2, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you looking for him to come? Are you ready for him to come? In 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Yet more grace. When we see Jesus, that which we do not deserve will be bestowed upon us, and that we'll have a new body, we'll have a mind like Christ. We shall be like him, does not the scripture say? For we shall see him as he is, and that changes the grace of God yet more being poured out upon us. Glory, hallelujah. I tell you what, if that doesn't make you happy, I don't know what will. And then lastly, in the seventh point, there's many others that we could have mentioned. We have a hope of eternal life. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, verse number 1, the scripture says, Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, listen, in hope of eternal life. I have a hope of eternal life in Christ, a hope of eternal life which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. That promise, that hope, is based on what the Lord has done for me. And if you're saved, it's what the Lord has done for you. And we have a hope of that. We can't facilitate it, can we? We can't hold the Lord to it other than pointing back at his promise. We have no power to accomplish it against him or to change his mind in it or if he would cheat us, if you will. We trust in him. See the hope that we have? He said it. He said he'll do it. We hope for it, and we believe and have faith that he will do it. Oh, a hope, the hope of eternal life. Over in chapter 3 in verse number 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Verse 7, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. I have these hopes in Christ. Know that they're going to come to pass. A hope of eternal life. A hope of the Lord's return and appearing. A hope of blessing. I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. A hope of an inheritance. A hope and hope in my calling of the Lord and to salvation, a hope in the gospel and a hope through the scriptures. To we that are saved, Romans chapter 15. To you and I that are saved here this morning, does the Lord God of hope cause you and I to abound in hope? Romans chapter 15. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Well, I tell you what, a whole message could be preached right there. Do you have joy in the Lord? The God of hope fill you with all joy. As you look to the Lord and the hope that you have through him, are you made to rejoice? Or is it just so much sameness? Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Do you have peace in just resting and trusting in him? knowing that He will take care of you no matter what betide. How is it, child of God? Now the God of hope fill you with all joy. Not most, not some, not a little bit, not 80%. All joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope. The God of hope, fill us with joy and peace in believing that we might abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Does the Lord God of hope cause us to abound in hope? Are you able to give an answer for the hope that is in you? 1 Peter chapter 3. Are you able to give an answer? First, do folks see it that you have a hope? Do they hear it that you and I have a hope? Do they see that there is something that's different about us, that the Lord has touched us, that the Lord has saved us, and we are joyful and we rejoice in the Lord, and our speech is seasoned with grace, and they hear it and they see it and they ask? In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." You got to set Him aside in your heart before you'll set Him aside in your life. This is children of God. The Lord has called you and sanctified you and saved you. Have we, as His children, set Him aside in our hearts? Purposing that what the Lord says and what He wants me to do is the only thing that matters, that it's number one. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, children, and be always ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you of a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." First, do they see it? And then can you give answer to it? Can you tell someone how to be saved? Can you tell someone how the Lord saved you? Can you tell someone about Jesus? Are you able to give an answer for the hope that is in you? Does your hope show? And then lastly, to we that are saved, does the hope of seeing Him as He is cause you to purify yourself? 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. We've got a song that we sing in this first part of this passage. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." And knowing that you're going to see Christ as He is, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as He is pure. Knowing that the Lord's coming back, child of God, do you want to be more like Him? Are you striving to be more like Him? Are you working? And does that hope of seeing Him cause you and I to purify ourselves? To you that are here this morning and not saved, in and of yourself, you have no eternal hope. There's nothing that you have that the fire can't touch. You have no hope. Hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Paul, chapter 1, verse 1. 1 Timothy 1, 1. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope." There's only hope in Jesus Christ. There's only hope in Him. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, just a few pages over, take a look over here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 3. "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." There's only hope in Jesus Christ. If in and of yourself you have no hope. In 1 Peter chapter 1 it says, "Who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the only one, God is the only one in which we can find hope. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, there at the end of the chapter, we read, "Now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity." But consider, without hope, there's no basis for faith. And without the love of God, there's no basis to have one to believe in or to hope in. But to see that God Almighty gave His Son not for us, but for you and your sin. He talked about love, and then He put the legs on love, and that He gave Himself for sinners like you and me. In Him and His love for sinners and sacrificing Himself, you can have a hope and these hopes that we've talked about, and you can have faith in the Lord through them. It's not what we can do. It's what the Lord has done and promised. That's what it is. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you trust in Him, that you need Him? Do you have hope? If you have Jesus and He has you, then you have all hope. But if Jesus does not have you, then you are without hope. Listen to what the psalmist says in Psalms 147. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him. Believe what He says, that it's true, that when He gives a command, He means it. And He tells sinners, repent. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, that listens to His words, that hear what He says, in those that hope in His mercy. Do you have hope? In Jesus, you can have all hope. Without Him, there is no hope.